Drive into summer savings at Burr Brothers Tire and Service with unbeatable discounts on all major tire brands like Goodyear, Bridgestone, Firestone, Pirelli, and more. Visit any Burr Brothers today because these summer tire deals are hot and won't last long. Burr Brothers Tire and Service. Complete auto care done better.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Please welcome in our next guest, Max Tooley, former BYU linebacker, now seeking to live his dream in the NFL. Max, thank you for carving out some time on the Saturday morning for us.
Yeah, sure. Thank you guys for having me. Can you hear me all right?
We got you loud and clear. I want to start here. You were part of the first ever Big 12 Pro Day down in Frisco, Texas. 137 other athletes alongside you working out down there at the Stars, they call it. Give me your sense of how that event went.
Yeah, you know, the Pro Day itself was a really cool event, something obviously new and unique to the rest of college football. So, obviously, in that sense, it was a little bit of a learning experiment, and they did a great job, just making things run smoothly, kind of making it feel a little bit more like the combine, and getting some more extracurricular activities, some more panels, guest speakers, different interviews, meetings, and stuff. So yeah, I think it went pretty well. Good success for their first one. It'll be interesting to see if they keep it going. So.
Max, not only were you a part of that first pro day for the Big 12, but you were part of the first crew of Cougars to make that jump to the Big 12. You know, what did that process look like, feel like for you guys now that you've had time to kind of sit back and compare, independence to that first year in the Big 12?
Yeah, this year was a big year of firsts in that way, especially for me being in an independent schedule for the last 5 years. That was a big reason why I decided to come back to BYU for this sixth year, for this first year in the Big 12. And yeah, it was a historic year. Obviously, not the outcome we wanted in a lot of our games, but nonetheless, it was a great experience. It was awesome to play against that kind of competition. Just to get a good feel of what it's like to be in a conference, for my last year. So can't really complain. It went well.
Well, and that's the thing. You and I, we talked often throughout your time as an independent, and it was just kind of a different feel, I think, going into a conference when you were competing for a conference title. But what was, in your mind, the biggest change going from being an FBS independent, BYU was for 12, 13 years, to being a member of the Power Five in the Big 12 Conference?
Being an independent school and having an independent schedule, you're always going to have, a couple games out of the year that are going to be real big tests. And then obviously you're going to have a couple games here and there where the competition is, not quite the same as the game before or whatnot. So I feel like this year that was probably the biggest thing, is just knowing each week you're going to play against another Power Five opponent, with a really good, complete team. So I feel like definitely that was probably the biggest part, just noticing how it wore on me physically, playing against great teams week in and week out, playing against good running backs, great offensive lines. Not to say that in years past we weren't playing, the best of the best, but, it was definitely an upgrade in terms of competition week in and week out. And, it was a good test to see what kind of where I compare in terms of a Power Five aspect, perspective, just kind of be able to play against those guys and compare myself to them. So.
Looking back on all the games that you played, which one was the most fun to you, or which one stood out the most to you in that Big 12 schedule last year?
In the Big 12 schedule, it was tough. Like, obviously those first couple wins, were great. Cincinnati, Texas Tech, those home wins, were great wins. But then, yeah, I think everyone was kind of getting used to the flow of the season the whole way through. And then obviously those last couple games, Oklahoma and then Oklahoma State, I felt like probably our most complete, maybe defensively, were definitely the most complete and kind of the most in rhythm games for us, where we had that the first couple games, you know, most of the games ahead of us to get into the rhythm, get into the swing of things, to be able to mesh as a defense. So I feel like those last couple games were really, really when we were able to show what we were able to do as a complete defense and team.
Now, you talk about the fact that it took some time to get on the same page. Jay Hill obviously was in his first year as BYU's defensive coordinator last year. Give me a sense, because I've heard and listened and talked to Jay for a decade now. When he did it at Weber State, speaks for itself, but I think he is on the right track at BYU as well. Give me your sense for how you felt he came in and what he did for this BYU defense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jay was a great hire this last year, and everyone knows that. It was evident by the way we played just overall as a defense the whole year. But, yeah, coming in, you know, especially like me and some of the other guys, we had some surgeries and weren't able to participate a lot in spring ball. So I feel like Jay coming in and just kind of establishing his presence as a leader and a coach and someone that cares about us, as well as, you know, teaching us the defense, getting us involved. But yeah, ultimately he did a great job with what he was given, and short notice coming in his first year. I feel like we definitely took strides forward as a defense. But yeah, like, kind of like what I was saying, I just feel like, yeah, there was a couple of us who coming back from injuries, me and Ben, coming back from shoulder surgery. So certain things in the year, not being able to do spring ball probably set us back a little bit more than we should have. But you know, Jay did everything in his power to get us right. Get us prepared, get us knowing the defense. So yeah, ultimately, so like as a defense, we did pretty great all year. So,
as someone who went through that process, learning a new defense under a new defensive coordinator, making that jump to the Big 12, what are some things that you would like to see from BYU this year as they head into season two?
Yeah, you know, learning the defense, obviously that first year is always going to be a little rough. So I feel like just having that second year in the program, as well as Jay being able to, you know, really, really kind of understand more how the Big 12 operates and the offenses we're going to play against. I feel like that will all go into account of just helping the defense get better. So I feel like just the experience alone, having that coaching experience in those games where, you know, maybe there's some tougher situations down the road, down the final stretches of games, where I feel like experience alone will help the defense as a whole. But obviously, yeah, you're always going to have new guys in this age of college football, but I feel like Jay's done a good job at bringing in some guys that already know the defense, you know, some really great Weber talent. So I feel like bringing that a couple guys on the defense that already know the scheme and know how things operate, know how Jay operates will really help just kind of the overall smoothness of the defense and it coming together.
Now, Max, you were a guy who, this is kind of an interesting thing to talk to you about. You started your college career without NIL and the transfer portal, but that all kind of came into effect while you were a student athlete at BYU. Give me kind of your overall sense. How do you think that's affected the sport? Is it a net negative, net positive? Where do you stand on all of it?
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, "Your dad has been hurt really bad."
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson, Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. Obviously, my perspective is a little bit different. Just being in a program like BYU, independent program, not with the Power 5 resources since 2018. So I've kind of seen both sides of the way things work. So I feel like my perspective is a little skewed in that, you know, I kind of wanted to stick true with my original commitment. I'd always been a BYU fan, and it's always been my dream. So, you know, the NIL money, the transfer portal and all that wasn't the biggest temptation for me. Whereas I feel like guys that came in a couple years later, and, you know, there are a lot of guys, it's pretty common these days for a guy to come into a school and then transfer after his first year. So I feel like just with the culture of college football kind of shifting, you know, you're going to see a lot more of that, a lot more guys transferring, using the portal. But I feel like, yeah, kind of just being an older guy, being a, you know, kind of just having my roots, you know, just as a traditional BYU fan who wanted to play for the school, I feel like it never really brought too much temptation into my mind.
Do you, and you mentioned the fact that you were a BYU guy, and I've had that conversation with a few guys like yourself who said that BYU was more than just football for me. It just stands for more, I guess is probably the easiest way to say it. And that didn't necessarily maybe entice you, but do you feel like it's morphing more into an era where, as you mentioned, more and more guys are coming into a university, maybe fill things out year one and then say, maybe this isn't for me, and they jump back into the portal and find something else. Do you feel like that's where it's going towards?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we've seen it in the last couple of years, you know, with the, you know, one-time transfer or however many times you're allowed to transfer. I don't even know.
You can transfer however many times you want now. Yeah.
Really? So exactly. You're going to see it a lot more. And I feel like even towards the end of my, you know, my last couple of years at BYU, you were seeing some of those guys that, you know, were kind of those quote unquote BYU guys that were kind of losing the sight of things and transferring. But, you know, everyone has their own path. Everyone has their own, you know, choices to make. So you can't knock on anybody else's choices, but just focus on your own. So
Max, I want to jump back to the NFL side of things for you. We obviously asked you how Pro Day went at the Big 12, but how has that overall process been for you? And what have you been doing to prepare and get ready as the draft inches closer? I think we're like 2 weeks out, three weeks out.
Yeah, no, this has been, you know, I've always kind of known this stage, you know, this January to March or March and April is going to be a big crucial process to me, step in the process rather. I've been training over at Stroh Foreman's in Pleasant Grove with a couple of other buddies from BYU, Jackson Cravens, Camden Garrett, and, you know, Dave Strohshine does a really great job with us, getting us right. He's put a lot of guys into the NFL. He's had a lot of success getting guys right, getting guys bigger, stronger, faster. So ultimately, that's been the goal the first couple months of this year, is just to improve my times in the pro day, you know, post the best scores that I can, to give me the best chances of you know, to make it in the league. Which obviously with my given situation, there's a lot of knocks against me. I'm getting older, so I knew that this pro day testing was going to be crucial for me. So I feel like I did everything that I could, trusted the process, stuck to the training regimen, and, you know, just let the results speak for themselves.
All right, so I'm looking at your numbers from Big 12 Pro Day, Max. 4.58 40. So the speed you showed on the field translated over. Also seeing a vertical jump of 34.5 inches, a broad jump of 10 feet 2 inches. I would say you put on a pretty good performance, just athlete wise. How would you evaluate it?
Yeah, you know, I've always kind of seen myself as, you know, an explosive athlete, fast twitch kind of guy. So I always knew that, you know, the 40 test is going to be a big one for me. Obviously, I wanted to run a little faster. You always want to run a little faster than whatever the time says. But,
yeah.
You know, times are all different. Every scout has their different times. So it's kind of, it's subjective, I feel like, in a lot of ways. Who knows what the actual official time is. So I just did what I had to do. And whatever results they say, you know, that's what it is. But yeah, vertical, broad, those are always, been a point of emphasis in my training. I've known I had some good hops, I guess you could say. I wanted to get a little higher on the vert. 34.5 was lower for what I wanted to get. I know I could have got more, but, you know, feel good about the broad, though. You know, 10.2 is a good time for me, or a good distance, rather, for me. So can't complain too much.
How many teams have you met with so far? And I assume they had opportunities for you guys down there to meet with teams, right?
Yeah, you know, I've had a couple chats just with some position coaches, some scouts, kind of just randomly. You never really know. This period is kind of hectic in that way. Yeah. You never know when you're going to expect a call. So, you know, I could be laying in bed, you know, getting ready for early night sleep and getting a call. So I've had a chance to chat with a couple teams. Obviously, at the pro day, there was a good kind of couple hour session where we were able to meet with the teams that wanted to talk with us. So we got to talk to couple teams at that time as well. So just kind of letting my agent for the most part take care of everything. He's done a really good job, Evan Brennan from UA Sports Agency. He's done a really good job in just, you know, putting me out there, selling me, putting in the work to you know, get that exposure that you kind of need to have in a prospect like me. So
I think one of the cooler things that's come out in the past year or two is just the amount of talent that the state of Utah as a whole, whether it's high schoolers, whether it's guys going to any of the in-state colleges, puts into the NFL. It's per capita one of the top places to go if you want to go to the NFL. Does that give you confidence? And what do you think about that stat line?
Yeah, you know, I followed along. Obviously, I'm really close with Puka, and, you know, Brady Christensen, to name a couple of these guys that have really had some good success in the short time they've been in the NFL. But yeah, I've always had pride in being from Utah. I know sometimes we're underlooked as athletes, but I feel like, you know, more and more guys like Puka, like Brady, like the other guys coming out of Utah, paving the way, proving that, you know, we have what it takes to make it in the NFL. I think it does give me a little bit of confidence. You know, seeing Puka being a fifth rounder and doing the things that he did, it kind of shows, yeah, you know, why don't teams should take more chances on some old NFL guy or old BYU guys, rather, you know, why not? They could turn out really well for you. So, you know, I kind of just try to learn from those guys, have as many conversations with them as I can. Just trust in the process going forward.
Well, here's the thing, Max. You can point now, I think most guys with those extra COVID years, a lot of these guys, and talking across the sport, you're not necessarily as old as BYU players, quote-unquote, used to be. Mm-hmm. So you can still find yourself a role.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to ask you, just in terms of the feedback you're hearing from teams, are they projecting you at outside linebacker, inside linebacker? Where are you being projected to the next level?
You know, it kind of varies between teams. I feel like most teams kind of see me as an inside backer. You know, kind of similar to the stuff I was doing this year, playing that weak side, will,
okay.
Rover backer. You know, I weighed in at like 229 at the pro day, and that's what a lot of teams wanted to see me at. So kind of being less undersized than usual has helped a lot. And just kind of placing me in schemes, being a quicker sideline to sideline guy on the inside is really crucial and valuable to them, to the NFL these days. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where, you know, teams see me, but yeah, I feel like for the most part, it's mostly inside.
So I want to know, you get that call. So someone wants you, they're picking you up. What are you doing to celebrate?
That's a good question. You know, I'll probably, you know, give my wife, give my parents a hug, you know, give love to the people that, you know, have sacrificed to get me to the point I'm at, have helped me, you know, reach my goals. So ultimately it'll be a moment with family. But yeah, we'll take that moment when it comes, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll celebrate, once that happens, I guess.
All right. So Max, you had some pretty incredible hair while you were at BYU, but I've got to say, I'm showing this to Michelle literally as we're on air. You are rocking quite the mullet. Is that still around right now?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay, so what's the is the feedback from the missus? That's who it really matters. Is the missus okay with this?
She's okay with it. You know, I even had it for our wedding last July, so I have it a little bit more trimmed. I've been letting it go as the season's gone on. That's kind of how I've always gone throughout my years. You know, start growing something in the back towards the beginning of the year, get to football season, have some flow out the helmet. You know, in years past, Kalani's kind of made me cut it halfway through the season, so I haven't really been able to let it reach its full potential. But yeah, going into the draft and combine preparation, pro day prep, kind of just let it go. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see if it sticks around. We'll see if the wife lets me keep it around. So,
well, okay, so I wanted to ask you, like, when Kalani comes to you, he's like, hey, Max, hair, cut. Like, how does he approach this? Like,
It's usually, like, around, like, week six, week seven, maybe week eight in the season. And there's probably a handful of guys in the team room that have, you know, questionable hair, questionable, you know, dress and grooming standards. So he doesn't necessarily point anybody out specifically, but he says, we need to get a haircut when you start looking like Brigham Young Cougars. So everyone kind of looks around at the guys who know they're on the border, and you know, usually everyone comes back the next Monday with a little bit shorter hair or, you know, no hair at all. So
well,
that's how I've been the last 2 years or so.
Okay, because that's the thing. I think you know this. I have Connor Pay on my podcast weekly, and I'm not going to lie right now, Max. Connor's got a flow going right now, and he told me he's planning on keeping this thing through the entire year. He said that
I actually heard that about Connor.
the dress and grooming standards at BYU, they've revamped it a little bit where you don't necessarily have to have it above the collar and all this stuff. I'm just wondering if you're the last. Yeah, are you the last of like a dying breed, I guess, in a way that has to cut their hair mid-season?
Dude, it's looking like it, I guess. Yeah, from everything I've heard, they're kind of throwing away the honor code in that way. So a lot of guys are kind of, you know, getting rid of the clippers, just letting things grow at this point. So it'll be interesting to see how many guys got some flow coming out of their helmet this fall.
Well, I guess we'll see. It made me chuckle when he told me he was planning on growing it out, because he had quite the flow going already. And I'm like, if you're going to go the rest of the year, man, it's going to be long and shaggy at that point. But hey, nonetheless.
I love to see it. That's crucial to a good football player, in my opinion.
No doubt. Last thing for me, feel good, look good, feel good, play good, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so last thing from me, Max, is just looking ahead to year two of the Big 12, what are you expecting from BYU this fall?
Yeah, you know what? Like I said earlier, I expect the defensively to, you know, be a lot more smooth. Probably going into the season a lot more prepared, just with more guys coming back, more leaders to help the younger guys learn the defense. I think, you know, in that aspect, we should be a lot better. And then, I mean, offensively, you never really know. I haven't been around practice too much, but I know we got some great transfers in. We got Gary, a couple other quarterbacks, and then, you know, just some great guys. So I have confidence that, you know, they're going to put it together. It's just that first year in the Big 12, there's obviously going to be some bumps in the road. So I think just everyone bounding together and just going into year two, they'll be good. They'll be good.
Well, that's what we like to hear. Well, Max, we wish you the best of luck moving forward with the NFL draft process, and we obviously will be tracking you in the lead-up to the draft later this month.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
And there you go. That is Max Tooley.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.